giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Let's pray again. Father, we desire again, as we said before, to see more of the glory of Christ tonight, and for the new year, Father, to focus more on Him, to love Him more, and to be able to have more of His fullness. We thank You for the fullness that's in Christ, of fountain of living water, and we just pray for Your glory and help in tonight as we would look in Your word, and that You would be glorified, and we pray for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a poor sinner. You tell me if you recognize, you know where this phrase is from. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. Does that sound familiar? It's a little tract that Chapel Library puts out called Happy Jack or The Poor Peddler. Or it has another title too. I can't think of it offhand. But Happy Jack was always the one that I liked. And he was a man who was very simple in his thoughts and words. But he knew one thing, and he kept, as he joined the church, he kept repeating that phrase. He says, I don't know about that, but I know that I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and all. For tonight's message, and as we start this new year, focusing on thinking of what's said in verse 19 here, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. And that is our Savior. That is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be our all in all. And because we can get all fullness from Him, all means all, right? In this case, all means all. All fullness dwells in Christ. And this is particularly primarily speaking even of His deity, because we were reading here, by Him all things were created. He's the image of the invisible God. He's God manifest in the flesh. We know as deity, of course, He would have all fullness. And that's true. But this is particularly speaking about Him as Savior, as our mediator. And Jesus Christ is the only one mediator between God and us. He is our only mediator, prophet, priest, and king. And for the new year, we need to think of Him more in His fullness, and also for ourselves to be drawing continually, going to that well, fountain of living water, which He's called in Scripture. So tonight, that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at His fullness and the fullness that overflows, all that He is to His people. Christ is everything to us and all we need. And and especially focusing a little more in depth on Him being the fountain of living water, this picture of Him being this spring or fountain of living water that has no end. And that speaks of His fullness, because His fullness is in an abundant fullness. He's filled to the max, and every time He gives His grace, He can never be depleted. So that's why it's like a spring of living water. Well, what is this fullness. It's a cup that overflows. We think of the 23rd Psalm, and our cup overflows as long as our cup is being filled by the Holy Spirit with Christ. But Christ is to the fullness. He is God, fully God, and all fullness dwells in him. So some of the commentators have taken it like that, that it's speaking about his deity. But really, in context here, it's speaking about him and what he is to us as the church. He is the head of the church, it says. All things consist or hold together in him. He's the head of the church, of the body of Christ, and the firstborn from the dead. In other words, he is the resurrection and the life. Our resurrection comes through being united to him. He's all things. And it says, for all things pleased. Now, the translations differ. Some say God. Others say Father. It's probably, in context, more correct to be the Father. It pleased the Father, but to designate it. But in him, all the fullness dwells. And this is him, again, as our head, our mediator. What he is to us is the man, Christ Jesus. And he is full to the max, particularly of all of grace. He's full of the Spirit. He's full of all grace. He's full of it so that he can give it out to us to be a provider for us. And most certainly, we as his people desperately need to be taking from Christ, looking to Christ, and coming to Christ for that fullness. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All fullness dwells in him." John bore witness and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace." Now that's true in the sense of that we have received of his fullness. He's full. We're not full ourselves of all grace like he is. We are sinners saved by grace, but we've received that grace. If we're in Christ, we've received grace from him, because he is full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It says the similar thing in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. "And he put all things under his feet," speaking of the Father, "and gave him to be head over all things to the church." You see, it's the Father giving him as the mediator, the one who is the head over the church for us, which is his body. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Speaking again about Christ's fullness for us, for his people, for the church. And it's full. Christ is full, particularly as our head. He is the new creation. Christ, we read that Christ created all things. All things were created through him. But particularly as the mediator, he's the new creation. What does it say? And this is a good verse for the new year. It says, "We are new in Christ, new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So Christ, we are the new creation in Christ Jesus. We are the greater work, really. The greater work, the work that Christ planned and purposed, that God had planned and purposed from before the foundation of the world. And he is full of grace for us. What does this overflowing mean to us? What does it mean? What can we get? Well, Christ is, his grace is sufficient. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, "And he said to me, my grace," this is Paul speaking, and Christ says to him, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's true for all of us. I mean, I think we were speaking this morning, looking at the Apostle Paul in Sunday school and all that he went through, all that he suffered, all that he did. And he is certainly one to be totally admired. And I think Pastor Bob mentioned that he calls himself the chief of sinners. But that grace that Christ gave to Paul is available for us, because Christ has all fullness and he's most willing to give it out to so that we can receive of that fullness, grace upon grace. It's available. Takes away all our excuses, all our lame excuses, because Christ in his fullness, and that fullness stems from his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, as we read. And this is a glory which Christ had before the foundation of the world, but even as the God-man, and most certainly as the God-man, he says, O Father, in John 17, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And then in John 17, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me, this is us, the people of God, his sheep, the church, given to him by the Father, he says, those will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world, all planned and purposed. Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He didn't actually come in history and in time until he was manifest to us in his incarnation. But still, it was as good as done. And that's what that's speaking of. Certainly, Christ has all glory, and all glory belongs to Christ. In what ways does he come and give us this glory? Well, he's everything to us. He's our justification, our sanctification, glorification. He's our righteousness, all of our righteousness. He forgives all of our sins. It's all found. Forgiveness of sins is found in Christ. He's that fountain that was opened up. We read that in Zechariah 13:1. In that day, it says, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. He is that fountain, the fountain that's filled with blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our wisdom. And this goes along with the three main offices that mostly we describe Christ as being our prophet, priest, and king. But he is our wisdom. He is wisdom himself. We read that in 1 Corinthians 1:30, right? Or 1:29. He is our wisdom and redemption and sanctification. In other words, he is our all in all. But it's because of the fullness. He has all fullness. And he was full of the Spirit. He was always in perfect communion with the Father, always full of grace when he was on earth. And again, it's in his humanity as well as his deity, but here particularly his humanity, a fullness of grace. And Theodore Collier writes, the best argument for Jesus Christ is that he alone satisfies me. He alone satisfies me. His grace goes right to the spot. His comfort soothes the sore place. His atoning blood makes me sure of pardon. His love cures my wretched selfishness as nothing else can do. Of almost everyone and anything else, we can get tired. But what true child of Christ ever got tired of the water of life with joy that he ever draws from the well of salvation? And that's us, children of Christ, drawing from that fullness. Christ is the well. And he is our prophet, our priest, and our king. We are complete in him. Paul labors in Colossians to get the people away from false doctrines that were leading them away from the true gospel, but particularly away from Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. And we need to continually be brought back to the sufficiency of Christ, the fullness of Christ, that he is our all in all. We don't need anyone else. We need to focus completely on him. He has it all for us. And he is our prophet in Hebrews chapter 1, we read that God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, or by the Son, in the Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. when he had held by himself, purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then John refers to him as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is God. The Word was God and with God and was God. And so this Word is our prophet. He teaches us. If we want wisdom, where do we need to go? Where there's a fullness of wisdom, that's Christ. We need to go to Christ as our prophet, our great prophet, and he does teach us. It's a promise. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. We hear his voice, not audibly, but through the Word and by the Spirit. We hear him, and we learn of him. Our priest, our great high priest, Hebrews 4:14, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, that's him. Let us hold fast our confession, and let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Going to the throne of grace, we can, again, dip into that well of living water of the Lord Jesus Christ and find grace and mercy in our times of need. And when don't we need grace and mercy? Is there any time we don't need God's grace and mercy? We need it all the time. And that's why the 23rd Psalm is so comforting when it says, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days, hound us down all of our days. Next, our king. And we read we read about him being our king. We know the scriptures that call him the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he is. He's a king with a kingdom. We had read that we were transferred into the kingdom of the Son of his love. It's the kingdom of Christ. It's his kingdom. He's the king. And we should delight, as the psalmist does here, my heart overflows with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. He's speaking there of Christ. He was referred to as your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. That's Christ, who is the king and has a kingdom, and he is God, but he is also our Redeemer and our King. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. All is in all fullness. Again, dwells in Christ for us. Keep needing to remind ourselves that it is for us that he is complete and satisfies to the utmost. He saves to the utmost those who come to God through him. So we have received him by faith, and it's a picture of drinking this living water. Christ is the living water. We see that pictured for us in Scripture over and over again. In Jeremiah 2:3, Jeremiah mourns the fact that the people of Israel, he says, for my people, he identifies with them, have committed two evils. What were those two evils they did? Well, they have forsaken me, the Lord says, the fountain of living water, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So just picture in your mind, you have a cistern, which was to hold water, right? But it's broken. So what happens when it gets filled up? The water just drains right out. If you've ever had a bucket with a hole in it, you know, it just drains right out, right? It's never going to be filled. It's always going to be draining out. But they forsook the fountain of living water. That is Christ. And so they had this glorious privilege of having Christ, who is a rock and in the wilderness and the one that would have fed them and nourished them, and yet they forsook him. It says in Jeremiah 17:13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Again, speaking of Christ as the fountain of living waters. In Isaiah 12:1-3, and in that day you shall say, O Lord, I will praise you, though you are angry with me. Your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I hope we can say that tonight with confidence, that God is my salvation. And he certainly is to all his people. I will trust, we heard that today, and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song, and he also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And that is a picture of Christ. It's not only just the salvation that we have, that's a full and free salvation, but it's Christ himself. We need to be continually drawing from him to have joy, to have peace, to have be lack of fear. And we are reminded, when we think of him, reminded of what he said to the woman at the well, right? Remember that woman, the poor woman that had to go back and forth to get the water? And he says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. Spring up, oh well. We used to sing that at family worship a lot, right? Spring up, oh well, with the hand motions. Spring up, oh well. Sarah's smiling back there. And so she knows. And then Jesus, on the last day, and this would be, we should have quoted this on the last day of December, but the last day of the year, but it's close enough. It said, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And speaking of there of the Spirit, because when we have Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, and he is that living water. So Spurgeon has I believe it's the last morning, if it's morning or evening, but probably morning, for his devotion of morning and evening. It's on the last day of the year, and he quotes that verse, and he pleads with people to come to Christ, and Christ, because Christ is pleading there, and it is the drinking is the believing. It's the same thing. Drinking, believing, you know, it's like the bread we eat, it's the same thing. And so Christ is the living water with no end, no bottom. Again, a quote from this fine author, and he says, the fountain never dries up, never gets frozen over. No sediment defiles it. Every good thing that I ever sought for outside of Jesus Christ has had its defects. And we have known life before Christ and the things we trusted in and looked to before we were saved. And even now, sadly, so sadly, you know, sometimes we lose sight of Christ and we trust in those, but they all have their defects. And the very best has brought a shade of disappointment. But whenever I got a deep draught of Christ's wonderful words, they were like Jonathan's honeycomb. They enlightened my eyes. Whenever I have swallowed his promises, they have put a new strength into every muscle for the hard climb. But we must drink from the fountain if we would receive strength, joy, and life. The proclamation is not come to the Bible. Well, I'm going to stop there. I wanted to read that later. But again, whoever is thirsty, let him come. These words are written for those who are thirsty. You have a real aspiration for a nobler, purer life. You who have never been delivered from the plague of power of sin, listen to the celestial voice. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And that is Christ pleading with all to come and drink. If you're here tonight and you have never truly come to Christ, truly believed on him, young people, children, you need to drink and come to him. He is the only fountain. It's not going to be like a bucket with a hole in it. It's always going to disappoint, but he's going to be that fountain of living water we need to come to. In Revelation, we read, for the Lamb is who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 21:6, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of living water freely to him who thirsts. It's the need that we feel that qualifies us to come and drink of Christ. Do we feel a need? Is there needs in our lives? Well, then that's a thirst. It's a spiritual thirst. But if we go to other things, we're never going to have our thirst quenched. We're never going to be satisfied. It's only Christ that is able to satisfy that thirst, the hungering and thirsting after righteousness. In Isaiah, the famous words in Isaiah 55:1, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." And it's the same invitation to sinners and saints. It really is, because we need Christ. We need to be coming to him daily and drinking of him, coming to him, because he's full. He's like this full fountain that'll never, never die out. Don't be like Israel, who forsook the fountain of living waters and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. It's a picture of them going after other things besides Christ, hewing out these cisterns that were only disappointing. They've forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Why die of thirst? Why would anyone die of thirst? You can picture in your mind somebody in the desert, right? I can picture it in my mind. I don't know about you, but probably from movies, the things you've seen, and the guy, he's already seeing mirages of oasis, and he's crawling along, and he's sunburned, and his lips are all blistered, and he can't, and finally somebody comes to his rescue and just dips in the water and puts the canteen to his lips, and he just sucks it down. But that's a picture of true thirst. And that's what we need with Christ. We need to have that thirst. And especially if you're not saved, the time is short. There is but, John Flavel writes, there is but one fountain in a town, and not a drop of water to be had elsewhere. Then all the inhabitants of the town would resort there for water. In the same way, in the whole city of God, there is but one fountain, and that is Christ. There is not a drop of righteousness, holiness, or strength or comfort to be had elsewhere. All the believers' fresh springs are in Christ. And then he speaks of the shortness of time. And if every year when it comes around, we begin to realize that time is short, right? Why is that? Because we're getting older. And especially looking back over this past year, we've seen so many dear ones die. And, you know, some of them in much, much too young. And it does remind us that time is short. We're called to number our days and to redeem the time. The candle of life is almost burned down. The hourglass of time is almost run out. Yet a very few more days and nights, and then nights and days shall be no more. Yet a very few more days and nights, and then time, nights, and days shall be no more. That is true. And so how much more do we need to number our days? So teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. Psalm 90, verse 12. So that's the Christ in all his fullness and all his blessings. Coming to him and drinking. There is a flock at the fountain now. Go and join them. Draw yourself. Drink for yourself. And it must be a drinking for ourselves. You see, it does no good for Christ to be the fountain unless we drink, right? We can be convinced of all this to be true, but unless we're drinking of Christ, it does us no good. Drink for yourself. Drink that your joy may be full. In heaven, there is a perpetual Thanksgiving day. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, their shepherd, he leads them to ever new fountains of water, waters of life. Jesus is the fountain, the ocean, the center of all delights and joys. So we need, as God's people, as we start the new year, to drink more. It's a good thing to drink more, to stay hydrated, right? We all could drink a little bit more during the day. But especially, how much more so with Christ? How much more do we need to drink of him, the fountain of living water? Fountain, and I'll close with the words from Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, the church, say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for all the fullness that's in Christ. And we just pray that, Father, we would not just hear those words and know them and memorize them and acknowledge them to be true, but would actually drink. Father, make us thirsty. Make us thirsty in our souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us not be hewing cisterns that have holes in them, Father, but to be never forsaking our Lord, but to be always drawing from him that fullness, the grace and the strength and the joy and the peace and the wisdom and the righteousness and the forgiveness from our great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, please, Father, in all that we do to focus and center on Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.